Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing not calling any man or any person common or unclean in the spirit of racial harmony and unity in the body of Christ. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your word that you've given us, God, that we might not sin against you. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've sent to dwell within us, God, so that we can have the power to go to the ends of the earth and we can witness and testify of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, God. Father, I thank you for us being able to draw all men to you by introducing them to your Son, Jesus Christ. God, Father, I thank you for you showing us something tonight that frees us of any bondage that we might have that hinders us from connecting with the people that you've called out before the foundations of the world because they are different than us, because they speak differently, because they live in different ways. Father, allow us to become one with you and having a heart that loves all people and embraces all people and rejects racism, prejudice, and bigotry. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere. Thank you.
Father, just help me do that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oath will be destroyed.
I believe it.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say
it's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving. It's breaking.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't hurt nobody. Don't hang up the phone.
Push.
If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say to take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I'll lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing calling no person unclean or common in the body of Christ, because we're to know no man after the spirit, or after the flesh rather, but after the spirit. We are to acknowledge no person in that we come in contact with in the body of Christ according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Racism in the body of Christ has crippled us and limited our ability to really walk out the Christian life that Jesus Christ has called us to. and made it impossible for us to please God the way that God is asking us to please him. Racism, prejudice, and bigotry all stem from fear. And in the body of Christ, we know that perfect love casts out fear. So we know that racism, prejudice, and bigotry can have no place in a Christian's life. So if we understand that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, then we should decide that instead of fearing what people think, what our neighbors think, what our friends think, what our church, our fellow church members think, we should fear what God thinks. If you're going to fear, fear God, who is the only one who's able to destroy your soul and your body. See, people, when they don't like what we do, they can affect our life and our comfort here on earth, but only God can affect the status of your soul when all is said and done. So if you're going to put energy into fearing anything or anyone, the Bible says fear God. And that makes such perfect sense. We have to remember that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Meaning that, yes, we are going to be affected by racism, prejudice, bigotry. We're going to see it all day, every day. But we do not have to be perpetrators of racism, prejudice, and bigotry, especially in the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, if there's any place where you should not see racism, prejudice, and bigotry, it's in the body of Christ. But when we understand that we're in the world but not of the world, those ideas that come with us before we're saved into the body of Christ, into the church because of our previous lifestyle and habits and friends and family and associates, we have to allow ourselves to be stripped of our former ways of thinking so that our old man can die and those old ideas can be done away with. I think of what Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 14 to 15, where he said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you." And this is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples after he has washed their feet. And I remember how Peter said, "Oh, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." And he said, "If I can't wash your feet, then you can't be mine." And then Peter said, "Oh, wash my head and wash everything." And Jesus Christ was washing his feet as an example of what they're to do when they receive power. Because this is before the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the 12 disciples and the others who received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they were all Jewish. They were all Jewish. The first Christians were Jewish. Tonight, we're going to read about the first Gentiles that were brought into the body of Christ, because remember, at this time, it was actually illegal for a Jewish man to go into the home of a Gentile. And a Gentile is anybody who's not a Jew. So that makes things very, very challenging in the context of this new grace administration, because previously it was all about the household of Israel and the Jewish people. And it's becoming clear that the mystery that was held before the beginning of time is that the Jews and Gentiles would be one, would be the church, the body of Christ, would consist of Jews and Gentiles. And we see how the Jews received the Holy Spirit first on the day of Pentecost. But now we're going to read about the first time that Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. And this is important for us to understand because we know that God is no discriminator of persons. He's no respecter of persons. And if you are obeying God, if you're seeking God, if you love God, if you trust God, then you're going to find God. Look at this commandment that Jesus Christ puts forth in the Gospel of John in chapter 13, verse 34, where it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." So this is the 11th commandment. The new commandment that Jesus Christ gave is that we love one another as he loved us, that we love one another. And that is whether we are African, Asian, Italian, English, German, Jewish, Hispanic, whatever your nationality or ethnicity might be, we are to love one another in the body of Christ because the Holy Spirit within us makes us one. That's why we regard no man according to the flesh, but all men according in all men. When I say men, I mean men, women, and children. We regard all people according to the Spirit. Look at what it says here in Colossians 3:13. It says, "Forbearing and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Now, this is one of the things that brings much of the challenges that we have regarding race into the body of Christ is that we have experienced harm by one another at some point in time in our life, just because that's how the world is. And the need for us to, one, acknowledge how much God has forgiven us of is paramount. It's absolutely necessary. If we fail to acknowledge how much God has forgiven us of, then it is difficult for us to forgive others. But when we truly acknowledge the fact that no person is going to violate us the way that we have violated God during the course of our life, it is easier for us to obey God and forgive others the way he's commanding us to forgive. And see, forgiveness isn't an option if you're going to be a Christian. Forgiveness is absolutely necessary. It is mandatory. You cannot be forgiven if you do not forgive. And when you don't forgive, what you're saying is you're more important than God. You're saying that others have offended you more than you have offended God, and that's impossible. Because over the course of your lifetime, your sin stacks up pretty high, just as my sin stacks up pretty high. But the blood of Christ covers and pays for all of that. So when we acknowledge that and we truly get grateful for how much we've been forgiven of, how we show our thankfulness, how we show our gratitude is in forgiving others. And what that means is, when someone of another race has harmed you or persecuted you, your ability to love them, to forgive them, to draw them into the body in Christ in spite of your experience is, one, how you show God that you receive his forgiveness and you show them the power of the Holy Spirit within you by doing something that you just couldn't do without the Holy Spirit. I know what would happen to someone who violated me if I didn't have the Holy Spirit, is I would attempt to do worse to them than they did to me. That's how human nature is. And that is really the result of people responding in fear. And when we respond in love, what we're saying is the power of the Holy Spirit within us is greater than the power of the devil spirits in the world. And that any devil spirit we come against that seeks to harm us or hinder the purposes of God in our life must submit, must bow down, must get out of the way, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit within us is greater than any devil spirit power in the world. And so now we have to look at what is God saying. Look at what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 12:50. He says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." And, you know, it's interesting because when we are in certain racial groups, people we're comfortable around, we're in certain clubs, we refer to one another as brother and sister, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and mother even in certain churches. And Jesus Christ says, "Whosoever shall do the will of God, the will of my Father which is in heaven, that person is my brother and sister and mother." That's awesome. And so if we do the will of Jesus Christ Father and we love all men and women and children of any race, then we can call ourselves Jesus Christ's brother and sister and mother. That's profound. That's powerful. Tonight we're going to be studying from a passage of scripture in Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. But what we're going to be discussing is the first Gentile to receive the Holy Spirit after Pentecost, because this is when the mystery of the Jews and Gentiles being one becomes manifest in the earth and starts with a centurion, a Roman soldier who's of the Italian regiment. And we're going to read about this, how Peter was sent to this man. And we know Peter is a devout Jew, so it's technically illegal for Peter to associate with this man. It's illegal for Peter to be in this man's house. And yet, God sends him on assignment. And see, you know, when we're doing the word of God, the work of God, it's not always going to be embraced by, as a matter of fact, it's just not going to be embraced by the world. The world is not in league with the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, the world is in opposition to the body of Christ. So I saw an interesting meme about Martin Luther King where it had his mugshot, and it actually said that doing the work of God is not always legal. And the law was in opposition to someone who was doing what God gave them to do. And that did not stop the servant of God from doing what God told him to do. And we're going to see that tonight with Peter here in the context of race as well, in that the law saying that a Jew could not go into the household of a Gentile did not stop Peter from obeying God when Peter was approached by God and God said, "I need you to go here and do this." And he showed Peter a vision. So let me start here in verse 1 of Acts chapter 10. It says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying that to him, Cornelius. So an angel came in a vision to Cornelius and called his name out while he was praying. And it says here in verse 4, and when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to him, he sent them to Joppa. So now God gives Peter a vision while Cornelius has encountered, or after Cornelius has encountered this angel from God, telling him to send men to Peter's house. And now Peter is going to have a vision. Look at what it says in verse 9 of Acts chapter 10. It says, the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. One of the things that's interesting here to me is that Cornelius was praying when his vision came, and Peter was praying when his vision came. About the sixth hour, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. And see, this is important because God is showing Peter that things have changed. God is showing Peter that what God has cleansed, what God has cleaned, must not be called common. And what changed is that the blood of Christ cleared the slate of sin for all mankind, Jews and Gentiles alike. And now Peter is becoming aware of this because God is showing him in a vision that all of these things have been cleansed by God. So now, look at what it says in verse 17, where Peter is summoned to Caesarea. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry from Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So the Holy Spirit directed Peter to go downstairs and meet the three men who just arrived at his house. And you see how the Holy Spirit works, speaking to Cornelius and Cornelius's servants. They're moving, doing what Cornelius gave them to do, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to Peter and directing him as to what to do. And the important thing is that both Cornelius is responding and Peter is responding. Now look at what it says here. He says, arise therefore, go down, meet with them. I've sent them. Go with them and doubt nothing. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius. and said, "Yes, I am he who you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. So now, this is an interesting thing, because Peter has been released to break the law and invite these Gentiles into his house. Then it says, on the next day, Peter went with them, and some of the men, some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So some other brothers in Christ accompanied Peter when he went to, and they accompanied him on his journey. And this is an interesting thing, because now you have Peter, who's a Jew, a Jewish Christian, along with his brethren from Joppa, who are also Jewish Christians, and they're accompanying him to go to the household of Cornelius. So Peter finally meets Cornelius in this Italian centurion. In verse 24, it says, "And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and close friends." So now Cornelius is at his house waiting for Peter and his delegation to arrive with his men that were sent to get him. And in the meantime, he called together his relatives and his close friends, his whole household. All of his associates are waiting at Cornelius's house for Peter to arrive. Verse 25, "As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself am also a man.'" Now, I'm going to stop right here, because I want to point a couple of things out. We know that Peter was an apostle. And we know that Cornelius didn't say, "Apostle Peter." We also note here that Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him, because he knew he was a man of God. But Peter lifted him up and said, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." He's saying, I'm not who you're supposed to be worshiping. I'm going to introduce you to who you're supposed to be worshiping. Verse 27, "And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together." So now Peter sees this huge congregation of friends and family of Cornelius in Cornelius's house. "Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation.'" So Peter is telling them, he said, "Look, you know it's against the law for a Jewish man like me to keep company with a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I ask then, for what reason have you sent for me?" See, he's obeying God, and God hasn't told him everything that is going on here. God hasn't told Peter what is going to happen before it happens. Peter's just trusting and obeying God. He's being obedient to God, and he is listening to what God is saying. So when God said that he was to call no man common or unclean, when God told Peter that whatever he has cleansed is clean, Peter accepted that. And in spite of the fact that the law did not permit a Jewish man to keep company with a Gentile, Peter obeyed God. And as Christians, I'll tell you, it's coming up. It's coming to that point where people are going to require us to submit to the law of men or the law of God. And when we have to submit to the law of God. That means that racism, prejudice, bigotry has to go out the window, has to be rejected, is no longer acceptable. There is a new standard in the body of Christ. It's actually not new. It is the standard. And yet, because Christians have been practicing Christianity in such a sloppy way for so long, we have to get back to the truth, which is that the Jews and Gentiles are one body. That is the great mystery. And we are not to call any man common or unclean. And when we see Peter's obedience here, how he obeyed God, came without objection, breaking the law. And he didn't even know why he was sent for. He was just obeying God. We got to get to that point in our life where we learn to simply obey God. Look at what it says in verse 30. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Now, here's something that is important for you to see and understand, is Peter didn't even know why he was being sent for. And yet, they are asking him for the words God has given him. They're waiting there for Peter to tell them everything that God has told him to tell them. So now, Peter is preaching to the household of Cornelius. And what's powerful about this is that you see how the Holy Spirit works. See, the Holy Spirit is able to operate in real time, to give real words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and discerning of spirits at any moment. Look at what it says here in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation who fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Wow. Is that not a word for the day? I'm going to read that again. Peter opened his mouth and said to the congregation of people in the household of Cornelius, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation who fears him, it says actually, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And this is how God is. God says, all who seek him diligently will find him. And we know that to get to God, you got to come and you have to have an encounter with his son, Jesus Christ. And so this says God is not partial. He doesn't show partiality. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're black, white, Asian, African, Italian, Jewish, Polish, German. He doesn't care. What he cares about is, do you fear him? And do you work righteousness? Then if you're diligently seeking him, I mean, look at it. Cornelius was in prayer when the angel appeared. He was praying to God. And Peter was in prayer when he was spoken to. And now, this says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That is all nations. God said he's creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. God said all nations are blessed through Abraham. It's the word of God. So he says the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus, he is Lord of all. That you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. So he's speaking of the Jewish people at the time. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. See, this is important. This is powerful. This is what we have to understand, is whoever believes in Jesus Christ will receive remission of sins, because the power of the blood of Jesus Christ has paid for all your sins. And don't let any racist, any prejudiced person, any bigot try to convince you that you're less than because you're different than they are. They don't know the truth of the word if they are not in agreement with God having cleansed all through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is Lord of all nations throughout the earth. So we have to get to the point where what we preach to God, or what we preach about God and his son, Jesus Christ, to those who are seeking relationship with God, to those who fear God and who work righteousness, right? God accepts these people, and he wants them to have an encounter with his son, Jesus Christ, so that they can become his children. And we have to be about that business of making that happen. It's not always going to be comfortable, because the world is always moving in a different direction to divide. When God says that I am going to dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with me, the devil has set himself against that happening. So everything he does is to divide and conquer the body of Christ, which is a heavenly kingdom of many nations. And so the devil is going to use racism, prejudice, and bigotry in order to fulfill this end. And that's why we have to use the love of God in obedience to the word of God, and submission to the law of Christ, which says that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And as we do this, God is glorified. So look at what happens because of Cornelius's prayer and obedience, because of Peter's prayer and obedience. Verse 44. It says, the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles for the first time. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. So now, these people got saved while Peter was speaking. That would be such an awesome blessing if while I was speaking the word, the people I was speaking to were getting saved while I was speaking. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, this is important, and this is really interesting, because what we see, let's compare it to what happened in Pentecost. In Pentecost, you had a whole lot of people who had already been water baptized by John the Baptist. And were in the upper room, the 120, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking with tongues, and they were all Jewish. And so now, in this scenario, everybody's Gentile, except for the people from Joppa that came with Peter. They're also Jewish, and they're observing all that's going on. They're witnesses of this. And while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all that were in the household of Cornelius, his servants, his friends, his family, everybody he invited to his house. And those who were of the circumcision, speaking about the Jewish people that came with Peter, who were from Joppa, they were astonished. They were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So this is the manifestation of the mystery, that the Jews and Gentiles have in fact been made one. They also received the power of the Holy Spirit in the house of this Italian centurion. Powerful. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And see, when you speak in tongues, you magnify God. And when they receive the Holy Spirit, while he was speaking, they start speaking in tongues, all these Gentiles. And the Jewish believers who were with Peter were amazed. They were astonished. So look at what it says here. After they spoke in tongues and magnified God, then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So look at this. This is so powerful. They spoke in tongues, these Gentiles spoke in tongues while Peter was still speaking. They received the Holy Spirit. It was poured out on them for the first time to the Gentiles. And Peter speaks to the other Jewish Christians that were with him. And he says, "Is there any way we can forbid these people to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ?" He's like, we have to do this. And because they've already received the Holy Spirit. See, they received the Holy Spirit before they were water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Meaning that it doesn't have to be any particular order in which you do the things that God says you will do if you are saved. At some point in time, if you have been called by God into the kingdom of God, you are going to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You are going to repent and turn away from serving sin. You are going to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Master of your life. You're going to believe in your heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead. You're going to call out upon the name of the Lord. You're going to believe to speak in tongues. You're going to believe to prophesy. It doesn't have to be in any particular order, but you will do these things, because the power of the Holy Spirit is going to empower you to do these things. And now we have to understand that no person that God has called is to be called common or unclean. No matter what race, ethnicity, gender, where they come from, nationality, none of that. Because God is creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations, and we are called to be a part of creating that kingdom, of making that thing that God has designed happen. And that's why God is tearing down walls of division that have segregated the body of Christ for so long, that our work has been hindered. God's word has been hindered by our disobedience to what he's called us to do. So now we have to get to the point where we're in agreement with God, and our fear of God trumps the fear of people. So that now when the law says it's against the law for Jews to fellowship with Gentiles, and God tells you, I want you to go fellowship with these Gentiles, and you have a decision to make. Are you going to obey the law, or are you going to do what God gave you to do? The law might forbid you from going to Korea or going to Russia or going to China and speaking the word. But if God tells you to go, you better go, because there's a blessing for you and a blessing for someone else, and the kingdom is going to be expanded because of your obedience. And now you have to be able to see that God is bigger than the law of men. And in all situations we see throughout the Bible, you see how the will of man stands against the will of God, and God crushes the will of man. But mainly because the people who are serving God are obedient, and they acknowledge that God's power is absolute, and that the power within them is and behind them is greater than the power that is against them in the world. And if you believe that, then that's how you'll operate. That's how you'll flow. That's who you're going to be. I want to really thank you for taking time to listen to this message, and I want to encourage you to look for opportunities to bless God by ministering to others who are not like you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. God, Father, I thank you for you touching someone. Strengthen them, God. Father, bless them with the ability to see how you've called all men, women, and children of all nations into your heavenly kingdom of many nations to be your children right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, be ye transformed.
My heart, yeah. Holy Spirit. your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Now I'll go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh my heart.
Your holy
word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I know what
to do.